Muddy Waters, Mannish Boy, my castaway's sixth choice. So, Charles Paris, we're going to abandon you alone on this island. How do you think you'll manage?
Well, in 1979, I spent a night trapped inside a Dalek with only a half bottle of Bells and a Ginster's pasty. A desert island ought to be a walk in the park.
According to your wife, you fancy yourself as a bit of a chef.
Well, I'm more of an experimental cook.
Okay, Chucky.
Chucky.
Let's see what you can do with this.
A fish?
Experiment the ass off that, baby.
Oh, your researcher said six records, a book and a luxury. There was nothing about cooking.
Oh, it's a BBC rebrand. Desert Island MasterChef does I'm a Celebrity. You've got to fillet a sea bass while reciting Tudor verse underwater in a tank full of live critics.
No, I need to speak to my agent.
Me too. Call yourself a celebrity. I've never heard of you. In you go.
Charles.
Charles.
What is going on?
How many times have I told you not to drink in the bath?
I must have nodded off.
I can see a miniature bobbing in the bubbles. Now you force me into Julian and Sandy territory.
You wear it well, and the miniature's all I could find. Cut me some slack, Francis. It's been a long day.
For me? What exactly have you done since 8 o'clock this morning?
I had a casting for a new Tracy Mims play.
Oh, yeah, that's so you.
She's award-winning.
Who isn't?
Such cynicism.
Have you seen any of her stuff?
Not actually.
I saw Flayed at the Shoreditch Gasworks. 3 joyless hours of teenage angst.
Morris wants to expose me to a new generation.
That's generally frowned upon. What's the play?
It's not a play as such.
Oh, God.
Traditional plays are linear and dead, so there's no conventional narrative.
Of course not.
Or plot or dialogue.
Characters?
Not as such. Mims doesn't serve it up on a plate. Her audience has to work.
Like a restaurant where you make your own dinner. Jokes?
Absolutely none.
You surprised me.
But there's a lot of explicit violence.
You need something to discuss over your post-theatre sushi, providing you can keep it down.
Morris says it'll reboot my career.
I hope you and your career are very happy together, but I've had a long day at the coalface of education, so I could do with a little me time.
How about I shift up and you could join me for some us time?
Bath with Charles or pointless celebrities. Bung some mole killer on the ground, see?
I usually discover I haven't got a part when I see someone else playing it. But this time, the call from my agent came quickly during a nail-biting episode of Call You and Yours.
Charles Paris, international man of mystery.
The only mystery about you is a functioning liver.
Do you know who I am?
Why, don't you? Is it time to tie a label round your neck?
You're talking to one of the finest lesser-known actors of my generation.
Try unknown.
I could have been a contender.
A bartender.
If you'd handled my career more carefully.
Oh, don't lay the blame at my door. I've kept a file of your unprofessional misdemeanors. Pop round, we can rake over the ashes.
Why did you ring, Morris? And it'd better be good, because Winifred Robinson's playing hardball with a manufacturer of potentially lethal bedroom slippers.
Look, how's your flexibility on a scale from touching your toes to mobility scooter?
Oi!
Thing is, Tracy Mims wonders if you're really suited to physical theatre.
I can hold my own.
If only that's all you had to do.
Just say I'm in good shape.
I did. Sadly, she'd already met you. They've gone with a trapeze artist from the Chinese state circus.
Damn! Every play I've seen lately is dancing and prancing.
I told you to do a course in circus skills.
I'm an actor, not a bloody acrobat. What happened to dialogue? No one talks anymore.
Oh, words are old school. Physical theatre's international. No talky, no translatey. Movement's the lingua franca do no jour, capisce?
I don't speak Italian, French or choreography. Is there nothing suited to my skill set?
Drinking?
Acting. Preferably sitting down in a well-cut lounge suit.
There's only so much Rattigan they can revive. Hold your nerve, boy chicks. Something will come up.
A standard response I'd heard 1,000 times from the parasitic tapeworm I laughingly call my agent. This time, however, he was true to his word.
Are you in there, Gordon?
Ready and waiting.
And as one theatrical door closed, another opened.
It's pitch dark in here.
40 years after its first outing, I found myself rehearsing a revival of a hit 70s farce, One Door Closes.
Why are the lights out?
That's for you to find out.
Are you decent?
Rarely, but that's my appeal.
Someone's very sure of himself.
I thought you liked my indecency. Now come here, you sexy minx.
Oh, Gordon.
Caroline!
I thought you said Brian was out for the evening.
He is. Well, he was. Quick, in here.
Caroline?
Just coming.
Caroline.
Stay in there.
My trousers.
Here.
Why are the lights out?
Oh, that's for you to find out, darling.
Oh.
And that was me hidden in Caroline's ensuite for the next 20 minutes, which was ample time to nip outside for a quick gasper.
Morris Skellen's number one client.
I'm sorry, I must have dialed the wrong number.
Why do I play along with you?
Masochism, self-loathing. Stop me if I'm getting warm.
If you are, it's the male menopause.
Speak for yourself.
Fun as this is, I'm supposed to be lurking in Caroline's ensuite.
Oh, genuine 1970s innuendo. Vintage is so on trend.
Cut to the chase, Morris.
Cast your mind back 1,000 years to English by radio on the World Service Rep.
Oh, happy days. I would like a room, please. Would you like a room with a bath? Yes, I would like a room with a bath.
And now, nation speaks peace unto nation with the voice of Charles Paris.
Cool.
Well, one of your ex-World Service mates is recording an audiobook, and bizarrely, he's asked for you. Name's Mark Lear?
That's a blast from the past.
I said you're rehearsing, but he's happy to work round you. The money's good if you're up for it.
I'm up for it.
That's what I told him. Studio next Saturday.
What kind of audiobook? Morris. Morris?
Work-wise, everything in the garden was rosy, apart from the fact that I'd completely forgotten how physically demanding and potentially dangerous Farce can be.
Are you in the closet, Gordon?
Have you been talking to my wife?
Come out of there!
What about Brian?
Never mind, Brian.
Caroline!
Quick, back in the closet!
Oh.
Is my jacket back from the cleaners?
Which jacket?
Dogtooth check. Maybe it's in the closet.
No, no, no. I put it in the bathroom.
Why on earth would you do that?
Jacket!
Which one?
Check.
Here.
No, no, not Prince of Wales check. Dogtooth check. Give it here.
Don't snatch.
It's not in here.
Get back inside.
Ow! It wasn't in the bathroom.
Found it.
Oh, God.
Are you all right in there, Charles?
Oh, no. Oh.
Due to a heavy lunch, my retreat was slower than Susie's door slam.
You're bleeding!
Oh.
I managed to convince stage management that a nosebleed didn't require A&E. Then Tony Delaunay, our ever-attentive company manager, ushered me into the nearest pub for a recuperative stiff drink or four.
Another large scotch.
Cheers.
You sure you're okay?
Don't worry, I won't sue.
It's not that.
It's that.
Okay, there's a bit of that.
You expect some accidents rehearsing farce. I'm sure I won't be the last casualty.
Oh, God forbid.
You've got my blood on your jacket.
Oh, damn.
I'll pay for the cleaning, unless you can claim it back from the company.
If they could work out a way of staging this without actors, you'd all be out of work. The whole production's run on a shoestring, and that's frayed. Why do you think they hired me?
Tony Delaunay's reputation as the dependable Mr. Fix-It was legendary. He also loved theatre and theatre people, which was great. It also meant that tight-fisted producers could take advantage of his dedication.
Anyway, a dry cleaning bill's the least of my problems.
Well, what else?
Firstly, advanced ticket sales aren't great.
Publicity will fix that.
What publicity? There's no budget.
Word of mouth?
Well, the words have got to be good, and the way rehearsals are going... I shouldn't have said that.
There's a way to go, but it's a strong cast.
It's not the cast I'm worrying about, it's the director. I shouldn't have said that either.
Dave Gurton's directing method was so laid back, he was practically comatose. He'd also been doing a lot of TV where he could rely on other people to cover for him.
If you're going to revive an old chestnut like this, you need a director who can drag it kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Ignore me. You're right. It'll be fine. It'll be great.
Run for a little one. Oh. Yeah, shove up.
With a voice for every occasion, Susie Stone was my on-stage lover and an all-round comedy stalwart.
Ho ho, is that a pistol in your pocket?
It's my phone. It was actually a half bottle of scotch.
So, what's the goss?
No gossip.
Wait till I get a few more drinks inside you. Fasten your seatbelts. It's gonna be a bumpy night.
Performers who are always on are fun for the first half hour, but you don't want to get stuck in a lift with one, or, for that matter, squeezed next to them on a pub banquette.
No Bernard tonight?
Charity do.
Oh, bless, he does a lot of that sort of thing.
A cynic might say that Bernard Walton OBE was also angling for a knighthood. The cynic in question now sidled up to our table.
Hello, gang, how are we doing? I'd offer to buy you a round, but you all seem a bit topped up.
No, thanks, Freddie.
I'm fine.
All right, next time.
For 30 years, Freddie George had cornered the market in Vickers and silly arses. His innate comic timing was much admired, unlike his gift for arriving at precisely the moment a round had been bought.
No, Bernard?
Charity do.
Oh, he's awfully good like that. Never lets up.
He likes to put something back.
Well, he can afford to. He's got the profile.
It's not just profile.
I didn't mean him.
He's very committed.
Well, absolutely.
He does a lot for charity.
Absolutely. And he's marvellous with the people, God love him. And they love him back.
National treasure.
Don't let him hear you say
that.
Yes,
sir.
I wouldn't mind being a national treasure.
You are to us.
Oh, shucks.
Now, there she is. Over here, Pippa.
Oh, great.
The youngest member of our cast waved a hand distractedly in our general direction without pausing her phone call for a second.
Ah, better make some room for her.
She's young. She can stand, providing her Bambi legs don't give away.
As far as I knew, Susie's hostility arose solely from the fact that Pippa had the audacity to be 22 and a size 8.
Someone ought to buy her a drink.
Excuse her, I call of nature.
Bang on cue. Freddie and his wallet were gone.
I'll see what she wants.
I'm sure she can buy her own. It's not good for her.
What?
Men falling over backwards every time she bats an eyelid.
I'm not.
Only because I've got you squeezed into a corner and you can't escape.
Why would I want to when I've got such good company?
Charlie Paris, ever the charmer.
I know, I just...
Hey, if it works, don't knock it, and it certainly works on me. Yeah.
Pippa's had to go.
Shame.
Our American agent needs her to do a video casting.
Fantastic.
The evening ground on, and when Freddie and Tony peeled off, I was last man sitting with an increasingly drunk Susie, about to find out what the always-on performer was like when she was off.
It's all right, Charles. You can go if you like.
It's not a matter of like, but I'm recording an audiobook tomorrow, so...
Oh, lucky you.
It's not that, but I have got an early start.
You go. Don't worry about me. I'm a big girl. I can get my cell phone. I'll just go... Oh!
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, let's get you out of here.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.
Which is how I ended up at Susie's flat in Catford, with no motive other than doing a good deed in a bad world.
Tea, coffee, herbal infusion, or I've got some wine here somewhere if you fancy carrying on where we left off.
Really, Susie, I just wanted to make sure you got home all right, and now I have. I'd better...
I'm sorry.
What for?
Well, I know I can be a bit full on.
No.
You're very nice.
Not really.
You are. You're lovely. Oh. You've just got one problem.
If only.
You're a good listener.
Oh, can I quote you on that?
I've known a lot of men, but not one of them ever listens. Talk? Yes, they all talk. They love the sound of their own voices, but you actually listen. It's a rare and precious gift.
Yeah. Will you be okay now?
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll be more than fine. I'll be mag-bloody-nificent. I will see you to the door, as they say in drawing room comedy. Oh, what? Oh,
Steady.
Oh, dear. Careful, Susie. Always been clumsy. Now I'll bid you good night, sweet prince, with a parting kiss.
Susie, mind... Oh, my back. Oh, Susie? Oh, man.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh, my head.
So you are alive.
Oh, well, let me get back to you on that.
Saturday morning and no smoke alarms from the kitchen. I thought I ought to check you were breathing.
Hey, baby, does this mean you care?
Don't get carried away, and I'm not your baby. Where are you?
That is a very good question. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Last time I heard that sound, you'd popped into the colony room and woken up in Tangier.
I brought you back a lovely scarf.
Not the only thing you brought back.
Well, I'm not in Tangier now. I'm in Catford.
Ah, the Tangier of South London.
There's an actress.
When isn't there?
She was drunk.
When aren't they?
Not fun drunk, needy drunk. I was worried about her, so I offered to take her home.
One thing led to another.
It's my own fault.
When isn't it?
I'm a good listener.
Since when?
10 to 9.
What?
It's 10 to 9. I've got to get out of here.
Not wanting to submit myself to the vagaries of London transport, I put my life savings in the hands of a cabbie.
There's 50 quid. Keep the change.
Cheers. Be lucky. Bloody cyclist, you tired of breathing?
I'll have your badge, maniac.
Oh,
the lycra-clad cyclist bounced the curb, missing me by an inch.
Charles!
Is that Mark under the helmet and high vis?
Can't take any chances with nutters like that on the road.
Great to see you after all this time. Come in.
When did you leave the BBC?
About the same time I left Gina.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Wasn't your fault?
No.
Was it?
No!
Joke, Charles.
I knew that.
All ancient history now.
Is this an English teaching thing?
No, didn't your agent send you a script?
No.
Oh, not to worry. Come through to the booth. Charles. Lisa.
We have met a long time ago, but...
Say the verb English by radio.
Wow, good memory.
You were the studio manager.
That's where we met.
That's where we all met.
I used to get polite letters from all over the world asking how to pronounce English, like Charles.
That's a great voice.
Wow.
It is.
It was Lisa's idea to book you. She says you've got a sexy timbre.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Very sexy.
Shall I leave you two alone?
Nice little setup you've got here.
V was getting so corporate. It was time for me to set up on my own.
Our own.
Our own. The one thing I miss is a world service club.
Where nation slurred drunkenly unto nation.
Alas, all gone. Happy days.
Hungover days.
Lisa's a Puritan.
Unlike Mark, who needs no excuse to find a bar. Should we crack on? Have you got a script, Charles? Mark?
I'm sure I sent it to his agent.
You're sure, or you did?
I did, I think.
Oh,
I'm sure.
I give you one shot. Sorry, Charles. It was an important thing, so I should have done it myself.
Charles is a pro. Nothing phases One Take Paris.
While Lisa got technical, Mark took One Take Paris through to a studio smaller than Francis's understair cupboard.
Very bijou.
Small, but perfectly formed. Listen. How's that for a dead room?
Mm.
Negative in most contexts. Dead is just what you want in a studio. No echo, no resonance, just flat.
Only problem is the aircon's on the blink.
It is a bit airless.
Did you phone the engineers, Mark?
Haven't had time. Oh, and if you're down here on your own, keep a wedge under the door. Haven't had time to find the locksmith and only works from the outside.
Do I have to do everything?
I have had one or two other things to do, Lisa.
It's fine. It's fine. I'll add it to my ever-growing list of jobs I asked Mark to do, along with drumming up studio bookings so we don't go bankrupt.
Bookings have been a bit thin lately. Anyway, if it gets really hot in here...
I can always pop my jacket off.
I'll prop the door open between takes. Circulate some air.
Right. Well, let's have a look at this script. Albert, The Secret Confessions of a Gentleman's Gentleman.
Penned by Anonymous, that prolific author of erotica, the book was a conveniently out-of-copyright collection of smut, recounted by an Edwardian valet known simply as Albert. Think 50 Shades of Downton. I suspected it was actually written by a committee of freelance pornographers on a trading estate in Staines.
One hot summer's evening, alone in my master's private apartment, I was surprised by the appearance of her ladyship. "My maid has the quinsy," said she. "Won't you help me with my stays?"
However green was this valet, Albert was quickly exposed to the loose morals and looser corsetry of the aristocracy.
Never had I espied such dainties as those of Lady Wackham at her boudoir, nor did she make any attempt to conceal her beauties from my gaze.
Albert did a lot of espying.
You seem troubled, Albert. Have you never seen a lady en déshabillé?
After a fair bit of espying, the nocturnal comings and goings of the gentry, young Albert soon finds himself huffing and puffing with the toffs.
Her ladyship disported herself with a wantonness and could see that my manhood was piqued. Oh, dear.
You're right, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry. It's incredibly airless. I feel a bit woozy.
Lisa's coming through with some water.
All right.
Here.
Ah.
Wow. It is hot.
I kicked my shoes off and I'm down to shirt sleeves, but there's nowhere else to go.
Well, we can't have Albert disporting his gentleman's undergarments.
Is there anywhere I could charge my phone in here?
There are no mains points in here. I'll charge it for you in the booth.
Thanks.
Wedge the door open while I reset in here, then we'll go for one more take before we pack up.
Right.
Another hour of corset loosening, chemise rustling, crockery and headboard rattling, and then Mark called time.
You look flushed.
It was getting a bit Apollo 13 in there. I thought I was going to have to cobble together a carbon dioxide filter from a water bottle and a pair of socks.
You need a good lung full of London's finest particulates.
We'll send you a copy via your agent.
Send it to me directly. If Morris gets his hands on this, I'll never hear the end of it.
If you fancy doing any more.
Always up for a bit of Edwardian erotica.
We'll see what we can do. Now, I could do with a drink.
What about the aircon engineers?
They won't be there now.
You know, they've invented these voice message things.
I could go ahead and get around it.
I don't want to leave Lisa in the lurch.
Again.
I'll stay.
Oh, go to the pub.
My hostility Geiger counter was bleeping. It was a passive-aggressive couple's routine I'd seen played out many times. Who am I kidding? I'd played it myself with Francis.
I'll stay here with you.
Just go.
No.
Go for a drink before I change my mind.
Well, if you're sure.
Go.
You're a star. See you at home.
See you at home? I knew there was more to Mark and Lisa's bickering than work and erotic audiobooks.
There you go.
Two more doubles. Spicy nuts on the side.
Cheers. And if Lisa comes in, they're all yours. She's all about clean eating, whatever the hell that is. I go along with it for a quiet life.
How long have you two been together?
Remember my ex back in the day?
Gina.
Well, things weren't going well at home. Lisa was a good shoulder to cry on.
One thing led to another.
You hum the tune, I'll sing the lyrics. Weren't you going through a tricky patch back then?
I've been going through a tricky patch since I was 16.
You managed to work things out?
Well, once I accepted the Stones were never going to replace Mick with me.
I meant with Francis.
Oh, depends on what you mean by work things out. Some years ago, I blew up my flat. Huh? It's a long story, don't ask. Anyway, Francis took pity on me and let me move back in as a lodger, and then I forgot to leave and she forgot to ask me to.
Sounds like a good arrangement.
I don't know if she'd agree.
And you're doing all right work-wise? Morris says you're rehearsing a farce?
Directed by another ex-BBC staffer, Dave Girton.
Lazy Dave.
You knew him?
A bit. Held the record for the longest lunch break. Went into Shiki's in November, reappeared the following May.
Different times.
Different world. So he's jumped ship, has he?
He keeps a foot in both camps.
They all say that.
After this theatre gig, he's doing a new teleseries.
Chummy bastard.
Yeah.
What a good thing has happened to bad people.
Well, I wouldn't call him bad.
Another public schoolboy with a misplaced sense of entitlement getting away with murder. The tales I could tell. You heard what happened when he got caught fiddling his expenses.
What?
Precisely nothing, that's what. A rap over the knuckles, don't do it again, old boy. It's all going in the book.
You're writing a book?
Memoir. Lift the lid on the media worms. So who's in the show of yours?
Bernard Walton.
Hmm. Sir Bernard?
Not yet.
Matter of time, he'll bring in the coach parties.
Freddie George?
Didn't know he was still alive. Yeah. Whatever you do, don't lend him any cash.
Yeah.
Oh. Lisa's on the warpath. Sorry, Charles. Another time.
But don't forget your nuts.
Enjoy.
I slept most of Sunday, ready for an early start on Monday, but arriving at rehearsals, I discovered a state of chaos.
What do you mean a migraine?
Morning, Dave, all.
How bad is it?
What's up?
We don't seem to have a director.
Dave's thrown a sickie and Tony's having a minor meltdown.
Remind me to stand clear of a major one.
Think I'll join Bernard for a cup of tea.
No.
Did you make your thing?
Thing?
Your audio thing. The other morning, when you stayed over.
Hardly stayed over.
What would you call spending the night at mine? And thanks for being so sweet, by the way.
Sweet? Was I sweet?
I think you were. Putting me to bed.
Did I?
Well, somebody did.
I think that was you.
I'd have made you breakfast.
I'm not a breakfast guy.
You've never had my breakfast. Next time.
Okay, people. Sorry about that. Where is everyone?
Freddie and Bernard have gone for tea.
Pippa?
Late again?
She's here. I saw her on my way in making a call.
When isn't she?
All right, you two may as well get a coffee while I sort out a few things.
Anyone fancy a posh one round the corner?
No, thanks.
I'm good.
Not what I hear.
You've made a big impression there.
Apparently I'm a good listener, but it looks like you've got bigger problems.
The size of a planet. Dave's off with a migraine.
You don't believe him.
We live in the age of fake news.
You think Dave's migraine is an alternative fact?
One thing's for sure. We desperately need to drum up some decent publicity, but everything I suggest is too expensive.
How desperate?
Seriously. Why?
I've just had an idea.
Charles, I'm just editing your Randy Valet.
How's it sound?
Surprisingly sexy.
Ah, good. Listen, I might be able to put a booking your way.
Oh, anything, please.
Killing two birds with one stone, I secured a gig for Lisa and Mark and a cheap deal for Tony's stingy producers.
Only thing is, I'm out of town for a few days.
Mark's a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he'll be fine.
I stayed late and helped Tony write a promo featuring me, Susie and Freddie on the grounds that three voices would be enough in a short ad. Bernard was glad of a lie-in, and Pippa was happy to make a film casting.
Really? It takes a drinker to know a drinker. And Mark had either been on an all-nighter or started early.
Where are my glasses?
Mark, do you know Freddie?
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure.
I am. We did some work with Bernard Walton.
Did we? I'm sure you're right.
Definitely a few jobs, probably not worthy of the CV.
Excuse me a minute. Got a mo, Tony?
Where are my glasses?
I came straight from the physio and had to get a cab. Can I give you the receipt?
Have you got your glasses?
Yes! Thanks.
Do you know Susie?
Oh. I know you were.
This one I like already.
I'm trying to remember if we've worked together.
Strictly speaking, I only saw the physio because I hurt my back during rehearsals.
Yeah, can we talk about this later, Freddie?
No.
Hi, I'm Tony.
Delaunay!
Yes?
Another familiar face from my misspent youth.
I'm sorry, you'll have to...
Don't worry, we're all young and needed the money. Is Bernard coming?
No.
Shame. We could have got the old band back together. Right. Can I offer anyone a drink? Tea? Coffee? Tequila slammer.
Drinkers think they're hilarious when nobody else does. And now I understood Lisa's concern. On his own, Mark was a loose cannon. And this morning, the cannon was loaded.
As our director's off, we're a bit pushed for rehearsal time, so maybe we could...
Lazy Dave not coming?
He's got a migraine.
The old migraine.
Do you know Dave?
Oh, I know Dave, all right.
Mark knew Dave at the BBC.
I know where the bodies are buried.
Bodies?
My brain's a who's doing who of showbiz scandal. One of these days, it's all going in the memoir.
In the meantime, we should crack on.
Absolutely. This way to the studio, ladies and gents.
Our positions are about right. Just take one step closer to the mic.
Ow!
Sorry.
Could you get your elbow out of my ribs?
I'll try my best.
While Mark adjusted the mic stand, I peered through the triple glazing at Tony on the phone in the soundproofed booth.
Right.
It's a bit stuffy in here.
Sorry, aircon's on the blink.
Doesn't anyone else think it's hot?
Some like it hot.
Right, I think we're about ready, so I'll pop through and we'll do a quick check for levels.
Right.
Can you hear me in there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm afraid I've just had some shocking news. Dave Gurton has passed.
Passed what?
Bad taste.
What?
Passed away, Freddie. He's dead.
I've never seen the point in theatrical superstitions, but when I told Tony I wouldn't be the last casualty of the show, maybe I had tempted fate.
In episode one of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nighy, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Susie was Jan Ravens, Freddie Philip Bretherton, Tony, Clive Haywood, Mark, Rupert Holiday Evans, Lisa, Isabella Inchbald, and the cabbie, David Reeks. Dead Room Farce was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans.